I'm Bill Littlefield, coming up on Only a Game, a look back at a tournament game that helped desegregate college basketball 50 years ago. But first, I'm joined by Charlie Pierce for our look at the week's news. Hello, Charlie.
Hey, Bill.
The madness of March is nearly upon us, and if the opening game of the Atlantic 10 tournament is any indication, it will be a mad month indeed. Can you explain what happened in the last 4.7 seconds of Charlotte's win over Richmond?
Yeah, strict constructionism happened. There was a technical foul, and then there was another technical foul, and then there was a third technical foul in the last 4 seconds, all of them involving what seemed to be fairly run-of-the-mill basketball plays. And so Charlotte made 8 free throws in the last 4.7 seconds and managed to beat Richmond in an ending unlike anything I've ever seen.
According to USA Today, this year is shaping up to be the, quote, most wide-open, unpredictable NCAA tournament in its 75-year history. Have they got a point?
They do, but I think they have a point for the first 2 weekends. I think in the Final Four, you're going to see at least 2, possibly 3 of the teams that have been at the top or near the top of the rankings all year. Now, you will see upsets in the first 2 rounds. I think that's more likely this year than it has been in years past.
I have found a coach for whom to cheer, and he's the one who said this week, quote, I'm definitely the bastard of this league. There's no way you could look at my career path and think any different. And I bet you know who the guy is and where he works.
He's the bastard who coaches at Marquette. The Boston Phoenix folded, and Marquette lost to Notre Dame on television. God really hates me this week, Bill. I'm warning you right now. Don't sit too close. Yeah, buzzes himself alone. He's a very different kind of guy, and we're more than happy to have you on board.
There is something of a tradition of quotable coaches.
Exactly right.
I understand the men's team at Grambling was unsuccessful in the Southwestern Athletic Conference tournament, despite the fact that 3 other teams in that conference had been banned from postseason play. Were you surprised?
Grambling was 0-28, and the loss in the tournament was the first loss all season that wasn't by double digits. So things are looking up.
Things are looking up. Next year might be all right. In pro ball this week, the Miami Heat became only the 4th team ever to win 20 consecutive games in an NBA season. Any worries that the defending champs may be peaking too early?
No, I don't think there's any worry for that at all, and I think that you will see them probably take their foot off the gas for a while towards the end of the year, but they're ready to win another one.
The realignment of the National Hockey League has been approved for next season, and the players seem pretty happy about it. What about you?
Yeah, it's less time on airplanes and more time at home, really. The NBA has always been noted for its surreal travel schedule, but the NHL's is just bizarre. And that they're making sense geographically, I think, is probably the best thing about the realignment. You know, they're going to have what they call sensible geographic names. I liked it better when all the divisions were named after Canadian guys you'd never heard of.
Well, there was a suggestion that the division with Edmonton, California, and Phoenix should be named the Gretzky Division.
That's a tremendous idea.
Didn't get enough votes. Japan is still on track for a World Baseball Classic three-peat, and folks in the U.S. still don't seem to be paying very much attention. I guess a case can be made that the World Baseball Classic is taken much more seriously elsewhere than it is here in the U.S., even though lots of it is played in Florida and California. Is it a strong case?
Yeah, I think it's a very strong case. This has never had a real base of support in this country. The only time it gets really any kind of extensive press at all is when somebody's key pitcher or vital infielder hurts himself.
Lots of football players have been changing uniforms, Charlie, and among the most noteworthy of them is Wes Welker, late of the New England Patriots, now a Denver Bronco. Don't you think the Pats wish he was working with a quarterback other than Peyton Manning?
I honestly don't think the Patriots care. I think this was as cold-eyed and cold-hearted a business decision as has been made anywhere for a long time. Now, he's going to be playing in Denver. They'll play Denver, obviously. They always play, you know, Manning and Brady as a lock for one of those premier TV games. So, yeah, you'll see Wes Welker in your Broncos uniform if you're a Patriots fan.
Reggie Bush, late of the New Orleans Saints and then the Miami Dolphins, is now a Detroit Lion. Good fit?
I have no idea. Reggie Bush's career has taken a very strange path. He helped win the Super Bowl, and then he sort of disappeared off the radar. The Lions are building a terrific offensive team, and if he's going to get back to where he was with New Orleans, this would be a decent place to do it.
All this good basketball and football talk notwithstanding, my favorite result this week came on Tuesday when FC Barcelona upended AC Milan to advance in the Champions League. Some doubted that Barca could come back after the 2-0 loss in Milan, but I didn't. I'm sure you didn't either.
I didn't, exactly, Bill. I didn't either. I had faith all the time. And you know
Excellent.
What? If I had known the game was actually occurring, I would have had even more faith.
Lindsey Vonn won her sixth straight World Cup title on Wednesday. Wait a minute. I thought she was recovering from a season-ending knee injury.
Yeah, but she'd already piled up enough points to win, so she's sitting on her couch tweeting, OMG, I won the World Cup downhill title.
On my couch.
Nice job, actually.
I read this week that Mitch Seavey, who is 53 years old, had, quote, scored one for the AARP-eligible crowd when he won his second Iditarod on Tuesday. He's the oldest person ever to win the race, and his son, Dallas, became the youngest winner ever to win that race last year at the age of 25. Is this one of those things where you let your kid win at something once and then change your mind and beat him the next time around?
This was not only a victory for the AARP-eligible crowd, it was a victory for the AARF-eligible crowd. Mitch Seavey is the oldest man ever to win the Iditarod, and his son Dallas was the youngest man ever to win the Iditarod.
Right. For the record, the lead dog was six.
Really?
6 years old.
But that's 42, right, in our years?
Yes, veteran.
Excellent.
Absolutely. And finally, 12-year-old Spelling Bee competitor Sierra Shoemaker was the victim of a bad call last week. She spelled the word Braille correctly, but the judge said she'd gotten it wrong because the word was spelled incorrectly on the official answer sheet. I love that. I certainly hope Sierra had a coach who could throw one of those red penalty handkerchiefs.
Well, you don't want to end up like Richmond did against Charlotte with about nine technical fouls and lose the spelling bee, you know, while play is not underway.
Nine opportunities to spell Braille.
They had one less L than should have been in Braille. Mm-hmm. And given the way people spell these days, we're lucky they didn't have a Y in there somewhere. But Sierra took it very well and advanced, and she said, I didn't really want to say anything because when the word master tells you you spelled a word wrong, you really don't want to argue with them. Mm. Listen. Unless the word master is a nun, I ain't accepting no word masters, okay?
You can find the sports writing of Charlie Pierce at Grantland, among other places. I thank you, Charlie.
Thanks, Bill.